Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the story goes something like this. There's a beautiful woman who's captured the heart of a young man. And the young man makes many attempts to win the favor of this young woman, but to no avail. She quietly dismisses his every advance. But each time the woman dismisses him, the young man's determination to show love and affection grows and grows. Well, after some time of unsuccessful courting, the young man decides that the thing that will demonstrate his love for her is to set out on a quest to find and to bring back the most perfect flower in all the earth. Now, there's only one place where this in the world where this flower grows, and that is upon a perilous cliff high up in the mountains. The journey to get the flower is filled with danger upon danger. He must cross a desert in the scorching heat of the sun. He must forge a raging river at the desert's edge. And once he has crossed the river, he must slash his way through snake-infested jungles located at the base of the mountain. And then he has to find a route and climb up the mountain to find the place where the most perfect flower grows. Once he's successfully plucked the flower from its precarious peak, he then has to retrace his steps through all the dangers and hazards so that he can deliver this most precious flower into the hands of his beloved. The young man comes back changed from his journey. He's aged from the experience. He is worn by the trip. His body is bloodied and bruised and scarred from the perilous trek. The young woman sees her suitor in a new light. Her calloused heart turns soft and tender at the sight of this changed man now before her, holding in his hand the most perfect flower she has ever seen. She reaches out her delicate hand to receive this gift from those rough and damaged hands. And after receiving her prize, she holds on to his strong hands, never to let go again. Now, stories like these are the stuff of fairy tales. Ladies, don't you want to be loved like that? That someone would pursue you so relentlessly that they would journey so long, so far, and endure such dangers, only to return to you with a perfect prize? Guys, admit it, as happy as that seems, there's something proud, there's something noble, something daring and dangerous about that type of journey. Something that appeals to you more than what you might let on. A journey like that stirs your soul a bit. Oh, to be on such a journey filled with such adventure to prove your love and commitment for another. To be loved, to be part of the journey. It's what we all want so badly. It's what we want so badly that sometimes, and quite often, we settle for poor substitutes. Women, you want to be loved more than anything, yet there are those times when you don't feel loved by anyone. Times when you don't feel fought for or pursued. In those times, it's tempting to find love in all the wrong places. Men, we desperately want to be part of a journey filled with meaning and substance, but we don't always know where to begin. All too often, we take our clues from society and the culture that we live in, and we follow after things like power and prestige, things that fade as quickly as they're grasped. Or even worse, instead of going off on an adventure, we retreat and hide. To be loved, to be part of the journey. Well, on our own, we are left lacking. Such is our experience with sin. But to show love and to make the journey, that's why we find Jesus on this particular mountain. Now, it's been 8 days since Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ. It has been 8 days since Jesus taught about his now and his coming kingdom. It has been 8 days since Jesus invited his disciples to take up their crosses and follow after him. And it was 8 days since Jesus revealed that he would depart on a journey to Jerusalem, to suffer, die, and rise again, a journey of love. The men who had been journeying with Jesus up to this particular mountain, boy, they were exhausted. Peter, James, and John, well, they were used to being out in a fishing boat. They weren't up for mountain climbing. There they lay on the mountainside with the fog of sleep over them. Then, and as if in a dream, the ordinary-looking Jesus was changed before them. He shone like lightning, his clothes brighter than language could describe. His appearance became extraordinary. And there standing with him was Moses and Elijah, two long dead key figures in Israel's history. And there they were talking with one another, talking about Jesus' continuing journey of love. One of the men, Peter, exclaims, "It's good that we're here." Well, he had no idea what he was saying. It was good for them to be there, to be witnesses to the glimpse of Jesus' resurrection glory. It was good that they were there to see a glimpse of his power, glory, and majesty before they would see his weakness, shame, and humility. It was good that they were there to see this before Jesus continued his journey up the next mountain, the mountain of death called Golgotha. It was good for them to be there. For this is the journey of love that Jesus would take for them and for us, to pluck us from the clutches of sin and death. Now, this, ladies, this is true love. This is transforming love, love that goes the distance, love that pursues, love that fights for you. This is God's love made flesh, so that we might know this love and trust in it, even when we feel unloved or where we look for love in the wrong places. Jesus Christ has come to show you the depth of the Father's love for you. And this, guys, is the journey that we are called to bear up under trials, to suffer, and to even die as we take up our crosses and follow after him. It's a journey with meaning, not chasing after power or prestige, not to retreat or to withdraw, but to have our eyes fixed on the one who calls us to follow after him, to follow after Jesus. It's a proud and noble journey that's filled with dangers as we follow him to death and into life. To be loved, to be part of the journey. Well, that's what fairy tales are made of. But in God's story, this is our reality. Like the beautiful young woman in the fairy tale, God's creatures were calloused in their hearts toward all his courting love. In their calloused hearts, they rejected the law of Moses that God had given in love for his creation. Rejected were the warnings of Elijah and the prophets of old to forsake false gods and to worship the one true God. Rejected were the advances of the triune God of old, so that the Father would send out his Son on a journey of transforming love for us. For you, and for me, his journey led through the river, raging for repentance as he was baptized by John to fully identify with the object of his love. His journey led through the desert wilderness, where he was scorched by the schemings of Satan. And tempted though he was, he came through unscathed and victorious. He climbed the Mount of Calvary and stretched out his arms to grasp the perfect gift for us. And his journey led him to the cold, dark recess of the tomb, and through death to life, he rose to return to his creatures, to you, to me, to his church of all ages, and to give us the perfect gift, the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation. He melted our calloused hearts. He transformed us by his love. His journey from death to life has created you and me to be his beautiful bride. It's no fairy tale. He takes our hand in his strong, nail-scarred hands, and he leads us on a transforming journey of his love. And he never lets go. Not now, not ever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God. Amen.